You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Jim Anderton may not have been the tallest man on earth, but certainly a man of stature, both physically and figuratively. The subject of a new film, The Last Man Standing, playing this year at the New Zealand International Film Festival. A new film by Geert Polman. And I mentioned at the top of the show, this is the 50th edition here in Dunedin of the New Zealand International Film Festival. For the best part of that same time span, Geert's work has documented some of the more important social struggles that have happened here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, from the occupation of Bastion Point to industrial disputes and the construction of the Māngere Bridge in Auckland, and of course, most famously, the 1981 Springbok tour. He's turned his mind to the life and legacy of Jim Anderton in The Last Man Standing and joins us on the program now. Kia ora, good afternoon.
Yeah, cool, all right, Aaron.
Great to have you. Great to have you here. It feels timely to be having the discussion that the film is having, given that we feel very much in the grips of early 90s nostalgia. Through, you know, we've got an engineered recession. We're being told that we need more people to be unemployed, but also that it's their fault to be unemployed, that they're unemployed and trying to service the beasts of inflation. We've got public service cuts and the spectre of privatisation and the emergence of a small political party you might have heard of called the Alliance, being led now by Victor Billow here in Dunedin. It's a bleak reminder, but a timely reminder, Geert, the film.
Yeah, well, look, it's quite interesting. It actually, there couldn't actually be better time. The film's been 9 years in the making. Of course, not 9 years consistently, on and off. But we started in 2017, and it's based on an interview with Jim over 2 days. He was not very well in those days, and died about 8 months later. But we wanted to get his life story. We didn't think of a film immediately, but we wanted to get his life story on tape, just in case. But that was the beginning of it. And then we set up a company called Progressive Productions. We wanted this to be an independent production. We didn't want to have commissioning editors telling us what to do and what to say, because we knew what sort of ideological position we would have. But what you're saying is, in 2017, I just sort of returned from Europe after several months over there, and I looked at the country, and it was after 9 years of John Key and Bill English government. And what I saw in the streets of Auckland or South Auckland, people living in cars, sleeping rough, all that, it wasn't the rock star economy that John Key had promised. So I thought about the years in the 90s, when another party was around, when the Alliance was around, and I thought no one remembers that anymore. No one remembers Jim Anderton anymore. Those were years of hope, where I thought another New Zealand was possible. And that's sort of when the idea about making a film about Jim came about. Last year, the film festival was prepared to show it, but in a way, it's fortuitous that they didn't, because I think it is absolutely brilliant timing right now.
A lot of your work has been focused on movements and collectives. This is very much the story of an individual, albeit, you know, probably the most prominent parliamentary figure in left-wing politics in this country since Norm Kirk, in terms of his, you know, his presence and his political legacy. But how does that alter the way you go about constructing the story around a more singular point of focus?
Well, I mean, Jim was a politician who was very aware that you only can change things in society and have actually positive results if you work collectively. And he always stresses this. And you may have seen, I think you saw the film. Mm. He constantly talks about that cooperation and working together is better than competition. I think it's an easy, I mean, I didn't walk away from portraying the collective. The collective is always at the background. Jim is just its voice. And I think it's a really brilliant voice.
One of the purposes of the labor movement is the struggle for working people to be able to live fulfilling lives, you know, 8 hours sleep, yes. eight hours work, eight yes. hours what you will. What does what you will mean to Jim Anderton? Because, you know, you see the film and I don't feel like I know anything more about him necessarily as a person or the things that make him tick. There's a lovely shot of, a cover drive playing some reserve grade cricket. But, you know, his life outside of work, or is there a life outside of work for him?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think he was a political animal from the word go, and there would have been a private life, but we deliberately didn't want to go there too much. Well, there is the tragedy of the suicide of his daughter. Mm. But that had political implications. It happened at the time when the Alliance was actually polling 36 or 37%, the most popular party in the country, and Jim was preferred prime minister. And I think it's an incredible story. It's in the film, it's of course a dramatic sort of a high point. That at the height of his popularity, he resigns, and he never. And the Alliance never recovered from that. But that's how far it went in terms of portraying his political life, his private life. We deliberately didn't want to go any deeper. I mean, any politician's life is complicated and difficult, and that wasn't the focus of the film. So it's not a portrait, really. It's more an historical document with him at the centre of it.
I mean, certainly events conspired against him, but so did Matt McCartan. He turned down your overtures to be interviewed for the film.
No, we didn't interview Matt McCartan, and that was a deliberate decision because Matt McCartan had said what he had to say. Matt McCartan wrote a book, I forgot the title of it now, about the whole history of the breakup of the Alliance, and he said what he had to say. And we thought, well, you know, the friends of Jim with whom I did this film, and it is unashamedly, of course, you know, praising Jim and his politics. We wanted our story to be told. Matt McCartan had told his, we told ours.
It's interesting. There's a great passage in the film where things aren't going particularly well in the coalition government of which Jim is a part, and you know he wants to stick it out and stay inside the tent for the sake of. It would seem proving the value of the electoral system. The MMP system was new. I mean, this is another great, you know, reheating of 90s debates that we're having at the moment about our electoral system, but wants to stay the course and stay inside the tent, which feels at odds with the way he went about his departure from the Labour Party, where it was very much not about staying inside the tent and trying to change Labour from within.
Yes, I know what you're trying to get at. I mean, I think the uniqueness of him as a politician was that he was both. He was an idealist, and I don't think he ever lost that idealism, but he was also a pragmatist and a very principled man. And I think by the time he and Helen Clark had made up again and could work together, and Jim says it, we want to, after all this time, we want to rebuild this country He didn't want to risk that one chance that he and the Clark government had to do as much as they could in these 9 years that they were about. And I think that was a very principled and a very pragmatic decision. But as I said, he is an idealist and a pragmatist at the same time. And that distinguishes him from so many others.
Has the course of making this film, or indeed finishing this film and now showing it, made you more or less optimistic about the capacity for parliamentary politics to change society for the better in this country?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I come from a country where we had this MMP, the MMP system for a very, very long time, for actually post-war. And New Zealand, I think, adopted the German model in 1993 or 1996. I still think that MMP is the best system that you can work under at this time and age. It's an interesting thing that Christopher Luxon right now questions the MMP system and wants a referendum about it. So in that respect, too, the film is very timely, because as you've seen it, you know, it tells the story of how MMP came about. And the hope that went with it as a more democratic system than under first past the post. Well, look, I don't know. I'm glad that the new alliance is around again. I'm glad that the left that there may be a chance that it can revive itself. It was invisible for such a long time. So, yes, of course, there is always hope that something like what was possible in the 1990s. Those were days of hope, the alliance. It was a brilliant movement, and all these people coming together, environmentalists, socialists, everyone working together. And for a few years, it seemed possible that another New Zealand could be established. So, no, I haven't lost that hope. I think something will happen. Something has to happen. The world is in a very, very precarious state, not just in New Zealand, but everywhere. And everyone knows it.
There's some lovely shots of Jim Anderton's valedictory speech and who should be sitting next to him but the future Honourable Grant Robertson. And I think what's different between now and the 1990s is that, at the very least within the membership, if not within the representation of the social democratic parties, whether it's, you know, Labour in the UK or Australia or here in New Zealand, or the Democrats and the DSA, you know, there appears to at least be some appetite for reckoning with the role that they have played in building the current economic orthodoxy, hopefully building the political will to change that. But that's the difference now, I think, in terms of where the political moment might be.
Yes, and we had a moment like that actually in 2017. You may remember, sort of right through the world, there was there seemed to be a left-wing revival. There was Jeremy Corbyn in the UK, Bernie Sanders in the US, and a lot of young people listening to old men. And that was actually one of the reasons I thought a film on Jim would be timely. Another old man, but was something to say that hopefully younger voters would pick up. So I don't know. This is 9 years later. Maybe that's what it took. Maybe it took another some years of whatever to things come in circles and disappear and reemerge again. The necessity is certainly there. So no, I think something is happening. Yes, I can't just put my finger on it. What it actually is.
The focus of the film is understandably his parliamentary career as the MP for Sydenham and Wigram for 27 years or thereabouts. His Auckland mayoral campaign is mentioned, but the Christchurch one that was undone by the Christchurch earthquake and the incumbent mayor's handling of that is conspicuous by its absence.
Actually, initially, the mayoral campaign was in the film. And the earthquake and Jim's attempt to sort of win the mayoralty, that was there. But it seemed a side issue ultimately, eventually. And it's one of the last things that was actually dropped from the film. We tried to ultimately keep it on that theme of Rogernomics and Jim's battle against it. And I've been talking to some people yesterday in Christchurch. We showed the film in Christchurch twice over the last 2 days, and particularly talking about the mayoral campaign. And they said to me, and that's what people close to him in Sydney, they said they were glad that we didn't leave it out, that we did leave it out. Because a lot of them thought that he should not even have attempted to run. For what reason, I do not know. But I think it makes the film actually more solid without it.
Yeah, you just get the sense that his, you know, that last campaign to restore the cathedral is in some ways a proxy or a substitute for what might have been in civic leadership as a way of rounding out his political career. You know, still to the end was involved in trying to fix things in his community.
Yes, he was, and he was a doer. I actually like the last line of his in the film, saying when Sally, his private secretary, who actually was very instrumental initially to sort of getting this film off the ground, then she asks him, is there any campaign or something for a campaign? And he said, oh, you know, I've started it already. One more campaign, and that's the man, you know, on his last legs. You know, the political animal that he is, he can't just help trying to work for the better of not just society, but he just can't help working and being constructive, building things, rebuilding things. In a way, it's a metaphor, perhaps, you know, for the rebuild of the labor movement.
Geert Polman's Last Man Standing, playing next Sunday, the 23rd, and Monday, the 24th, at Rialto as part of the New Zealand International Film Festival. A pleasure to have you on the program this afternoon, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. I hope I answered your questions.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.